anyway, every Sunday morning, I'd go to bed on Saturday night, and they'd always let us stay up a little bit late on Saturday night because there was a cowboy picture on TV, right? So we'd get to watch the cowboy picture and eat popcorn and have a good time. Well, you know, man, I was dead of the world, went to sleep. So every Sunday morning, you know what my alarm clock was? The gospel singing Jubilee on television. Y'all remember that? Florida Boys, Les Beasley, you know, all those guys. And they used to have all big-name singing groups on there every Sunday morning, and I loved it. I loved listening to that music while I was getting ready to go to church and watching them on TV. Well, there was one song that even stuck with me back then, and I still like it. It's still one of my favorites, and you'll recognize it.
Thank you.
would go for take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24 tonight. Matthew 24, just two or three verses, and of course I'm Baptist. I can turn two or three verses into a long one if I need to. And we'll try to keep it a little bit shorter tonight. We were talking a few minutes ago about, you know, Wilcox County. Everybody looks at me and says, well, you know, I introduce myself when I'm out here and everything, and they all say, well, you know, do you live here in Warner Robins? Well, no, I live in the county that I grew up in. And they said, well, where is that? And I said, Wilcox County. And they said, wait a minute, your last name is Wilcox? I said, yes. And you come from Wilcox County? Yes. It's not that big a coincidence. That's where the Wilcoxes settled. That's, you know, that's my people. But you have to be careful when you talk about the people, okay? Now, my daddy was a Baptist preacher for 60 years. My granddaddy was a whole nother thing, okay? And I tell this, and people get a big kick out of it. It's the honest truth. Honest, my granddaddy told me this, okay? So my granddaddy was born in 1892. He was 65 years old when I was born. He lived to be 90 years old. 2 weeks before he died, he had a stroke. 2 weeks before that, I went down there to see him, and he was splitting firewood, okay? He was tough. Both of his parents died when he was six, okay? So he had it hard. He never went to school. He couldn't read or write. I remember as a youngin', I'd be at his house during the summer, and the mail carrier would come, and he'd say, boy, go get the mail. So I'd go out there to the road, and I'd get the mail out of the box, and I'd bring it in. He said, all right, boy, sit down and tell me what I got. And I'd have to read him his mail because he couldn't read. He finally got to where he could scribble something that passed for his name, and that's all he could do. Only thing he ever knew was hard work. But Granddaddy, and he farmed. He was a farmer just like everybody else in South Georgia, okay? But Granddaddy supplemented his income, okay, by making liquor. Another thing that a lot of folks did back then, okay? You know, there's a thing on TV now, moonshiners. Y'all seen that? They talk about them moonshine. You know, I can't even remember which one it is. I got to watching that thing, and there was a boy in there from Virginia, Tim Smith. You know, he's the one that went legal, okay? Tim Smith started in a little place called Climax, Virginia. My daddy pastored a Baptist church in Danville, Virginia, okay, which is about 25 miles from Climax. So they still do it up there, and they do down here too. But anyway, Granddaddy supplemented his income making liquor, okay? But see, the problem was that Granddaddy drank a lot of what he made, okay? So that was a problem. Anyway, I'm going to make a long story short. Granddaddy, when he was 15, found a girl that he wanted to marry. He went and borrowed $500, bought a 75-acre farm, sawed timber, dried it, built a house, got a crop in the ground. And when he sold his first crop, now this is age 15, okay? Find me a 15-year-old nowadays that'll do that. But anyway, he went and paid the money back and got married. And everything was good. You know, him and this woman got along all right. They had four kids. They had a girl and three boys. And then one day she rang the dinner bell, so Granddaddy left the mule out there in the field, and he come in to eat dinner. And Granddaddy never would say the blessing, but he had to bow his head while she said the blessing. So she said amen, and he went to reaching for food and heard something and looked, and she had fallen out of her chair dead with a brain hemorrhage. So now he's stuck with four kids, but he's already established. He's got a farm, you know. And his custom was, at the end of the season, when he had gathered all of his crops, that he would, you know, that's the farmer's downtime. It's time to rest now. So Granddaddy would get all his crops sold, and he'd have him a little special edition waiting over there, you know, that had been aging for a while. And he would go on a 3 or 4 day binge drunk, and he'd stay drunk. And this is where he started telling me the story. He said, boy, I woke up one morning after I'd done that for 3 or 4 days, And he said, I sat up on the side of the bed, my head felt like it was that big, and I was just rubbing my head and said, I heard something behind me. And I looked around. Now, by this time, his four kids were on up, late teens, okay? And he said, I looked around, and there's a woman in the bed with me. And I said, say what? He said, that's what I thought. And he said, I looked at her and said, what are you doing here? And she said, well, John, we got married yesterday. And that was my grandma. And they had four more youngins and stayed married 50-something years before he died when he was 90. The Lord just worked some things out. That's all I can say. So I'm kind of glad my daddy turned out to be a preacher to kind of help the reputation of the family a little bit there, you know. Woo. So be careful when you start looking at what your family's like. You might find out something you don't really want to know. Matthew chapter 24. You know, I have never seen a time in my life, and I never thought that I would see a time like it is today. I cannot believe. I'm going to tell you something. I told my wife, I said, I don't know if we ought to have this cable television or not. And she said, well, you're right, but there's you're paying this money every month to be able to watch this television, and ain't a blooming thing on there worth watching. I'll be honest with you, the only thing I keep it around for is the Braves and the Bulldogs. You know, if I'm off on Saturday, hey, I just remembered, I'm off every Saturday now. I can watch the dogs play every week. I'm telling you, I'm in hog heaven. But, you know, that's the only thing I ever watch much, because ain't anything on there worth watching. You start watching some and say, well, I'll see what this is like, and the next thing you know, you got a bunch of nude people on TV. I never thought I would see that in my lifetime. I never thought that they would be taught. Some of these programs they got on, I'm going, my Lord, have we come that far down the hill? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There are things going on in our society, and people just say, well, that's the culture we live in. We need to change that. I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't go along with all that. I cannot do it. Listen, there's right and there's wrong. But you look at that stuff nowadays and look at what's going on around you, and I never thought that I would see the day when a Christian could not stand up in public and say a prayer or say anything about God and be all but thrown in prison for it. But you let a bunch of homosexuals get up and they can do anything they want to in public, and it's okay because they have the right. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about all that, and we shouldn't be surprised because the Bible says that it's going to be like that in the last days. This should not come as a surprise to anybody. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we ought to just give up and not try. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, Christ is speaking here. Look at verse 37. I'm sorry. Matthew 24, 37. And we'll read through verse 39. And this is Christ speaking. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So right there he tells us, look, in the last days, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. And he goes on in verse 38, For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here and preach your word. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just speak to your people tonight as you see fit. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we would all learn from your word and we would take heed and go out to live our lives for you more dedicated when we leave this place. For it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Listen, Jesus tells us that in the days of Noah, and if you want to find out what it was like in the days of Noah, just go back and read Genesis, okay? Because you'll see what kind of depravity there was in that time. Every time God passed judgment upon the earth or upon his children, it had gotten to a point where God said, I can no longer allow this.
But look how long God let them go and was trying to get them to come back.
The Bible tells us that God is a long-suffering God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You know what? It's funny. We look at our grandson. He stole the show at that wedding yesterday. I'm telling you. My son and the boy that I did the wedding for have been best friends their whole life. Well, Josh has, you know, got Luke now. He's six. He's my buddy. And he's about this tall. And I don't know what he weighs now, but he's getting pretty heavy. And I told Josh, I said, we are going to introduce that boy to a football pretty quick because I want season tickets to watch the dogs play. But anyway, you know, he's, I don't know where he got it, but he is a ham. Let me tell you something. And they wanted him to be the ring bearer. Of course, you know, ring bearers don't really carry the rings anymore. So they came up with this new idea. Now, this was not my idea. This was their idea. But they put him, now my little grandson, 6-year-old, in a black tuxedo, 3-piece, with a bow tie, wearing black high-top Converse tennis shoes, sunglasses, and they gave him a little briefcase, and it had a picture of a ring on it, and it said ring security, you know, playing on the fact that I'm a cop, my son's a cop. So, you know, he comes walking down the aisle looking all cool in his sunglasses and black tux with his attaché case. And he gets up there to us, and I'm standing there, and he walks up to me and every one of the guys fist bump. He stole the show. We get to the reception, you know, they got a DJ and somebody. Look, they had to pull him off the dance floor. I don't know where he learned how to dance, but they sent me video, and I said, who told him to do that? You know, I mean, literally, he's a ham. He stole the show, okay? And people love that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, I had a little pain in my heart, and I love my grandson, but I'm wanting to grab my son and get him off the side and say, where you been taking my grandson? Who's been teaching him to do this? The boy was cutting the rug. I never could do that, never even really wanted to. But, dude, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Jesus said, if we want to know what it's going to be like before he comes back, just go back in Scripture and look at the time before Noah. And they kept on, and they kept on right up until the time that it started raining and they didn't realize what was going on. So, and I'm not going to go there and read that, but if you go to Genesis chapter 4, it starts talking about some of the people that were born and some of the people in the Bible that were notable and how they fit into the lineage of Adam and Eve that started all of this stuff. Okay, now God said, okay, things have gotten so bad in this world that I'm going to send the flood, and the only people going to be saved are Noah and his family and the animals. Okay, those people that get in the ark, they'll be saved. But he wiped out all the sin and rottenness and stuff on this earth and said, okay, we're going to start again. And guess what? Started up again. And it's taken all of this time to get where we are now. But I'm telling you, every time you turn on the television, you see depravity. You see people talking about how we need to be politically correct. Let me tell you something. I will retire as a sergeant. I'll never make lieutenant. You know why? Because I'm not politically correct. You know, I told you this morning, I have 3 friends that are my very best friends ever because they tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. Well, that's the kind of person I am. Flip that, whatever. Anyway, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay. But they tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And that's what I, you know, and every time somebody higher up in the police department comes and says, hey, what do you think about this? I'm brutally honest, and that doesn't really make me popular sometimes. But that's all right. I'm not setting out to be popular. Never have, never will. I want to be right. I want to be where God wants me to be. It doesn't matter about what people think. I don't care about making lieutenant if that's what I got to do it. Not going to happen. Folks, listen. God says that you better watch out because when things get like they were in Noah's day, then I'm coming. And it's going to come quickly. Okay? So what was it like in Noah's day? Well, if you go back and you read in Genesis chapter 4, you start talking about people that are notable in the genealogy from Adam and Eve and on down. And these people are notable for certain reasons. First of all, the first thing that we need to understand that in Noah's day, perversion ruled. Perversion ruled. It talks about Cain. Now, what is Cain known for? He killed his brother Abel, right? You know why he killed Abel? Because he got mad at Abel. Why did he get mad at Abel? Okay, God says you have to bring a sacrifice. Because sin entered into the world, there has to be a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, before sin can be forgiven. And so Abel listened to God and said, okay, there's got to be a blood sacrifice. He takes the best out of his flock and he brings it and sacrifices it to God. And God said, I accept that sacrifice because that's what is necessary for salvation. But Cain thought he knew better than God, didn't he? You see, Cain was not a herdsman. He was a farmer. And so he brought what he grew. Well, what's the problem with that? It's something that he had done with his hands. Folks, we can't earn salvation. We can't do it. This was something that he did. It was not something that God did. And God said, you know what? I'm not accepting your sacrifice. I'll accept your brother. Well, Cain got mad, and Cain killed his brother, right? And so perversion entered the world right there. Right then and there is where it started. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Y'all know how Satan works, right? He starts out with something very simple and very innocent, supposedly. And the next thing you know, he's got you way off over here somewhere in your life. He's got you. He's got you. You're now captive to him. And it's only by the grace of God that any of us break away from that. And you know what? We say, well, once Christ comes in our heart and we allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us, you know, Satan can't touch us. If you let him, he can. And let me tell you something else. He never gives up. He never gives up. I've been known to listen to all kinds of music before. And I got to where I was listening to country music a lot. And Keith Whitley was a country music star. And he, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? He had a song that was a big hit. I'm No Stranger to the Rain. And one line in that song, you know, I told Diane, I said, that's a catchy tune. And I really like the tune. And I'll sing along with it. But boy, theologically, it sucks. Because there's a line in that song that says, I fought with the devil, got down on this level, but I never gave up, so he gave up on me. Let me tell you something. Satan don't give up. He don't give up. Every day we face temptations as Christians because Satan's going to try. Let me tell you something. Perversion entered the world with Cain. He tried doing it his way instead of God's way. See, that's our problem, isn't it? But there's another thing that happened, and this one may sound a little bit odd at first, but folks, prosperity began to flourish. People became more prosperous. It talks about a man named Jabal in there. Okay, what did he do? Well, he domesticated animals. He was the first one that said, hey, I believe I can make money if I domesticate animals and I sell these animals so people don't have to go out and hunt their own. It'll be easier for them, right? If you want to make a bunch of money nowadays, just find out an invention, you know, come up with something that you can do to make somebody's life easier. You get rich, right? Same old thing. That's what he did. He's the first one to domesticate animals. No more hunting. No more hard work. All you got to do is look to me and I'll make things happen for you. He had more than he needed. He was very prosperous. Diane and I cut up all the time. She always brings me back down to earth. You know, I look at her sometimes and say, you know what? When I win the lottery, I'm gonna buy this 1,000 acres over here. And I'm going to buy me a tractor and I'm just going to retire from work and I'm going to farm. I'm going to play in the dirt the rest of my life. But I said, you know, there's another thing I'm going to do when I win the lottery. When I win all them millions, I said, there's not a church anywhere that's not going to have the best of everything. You know, I'm going to help churches. I'm going to help people. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to set my boys up. Me and them boys are hunting fish full time. You know, they're a lot younger than I am, but I can, hey, that much money, going to retire. You know? And I keep going on with these big dreams, things I'm going to do when I win the lottery. And after a while, she'll look at me and say, did you buy a ticket yet? Well, no. But one day when I win the lottery, you know, let me tell you something. People get a bunch of money, and all of a sudden, they don't need God anymore, do they? They better realize where that money came from.
You know, I don't have much, but I can tell you what. I never thought I'd have what I have, and it's only because God has given it to me, and don't think I don't thank Him for it every day. And look, it ain't mine to begin with. It's His. It's His. He's just letting me use it for a while. That's okay. But folks, let me tell you something. I have seen people in churches that my daddy pastored. They didn't have two nickels to rub together, and they were the most faithful people in God's house, and they were the best workers in God's kingdom, and all of a sudden God blessed them with something, and you never saw them again. You know why? Because they didn't need God anymore. Folks, prosperity used the right way is a great thing. It is. But it can get in the way of what God wants for you in your life. Look, there's another thing. Pleasure. How much time we spend on that? You see, there was another one called Jubal. Not only Jabal, but there was Jubal. Remember what I was talking about a while ago? What does the name Jubal mean? What did Jubal do? Music. He was a musician. Remember I said, Jubilee, you know, Jubilee, you're invited to this gospel Jubilee. We call him Jubilee because Jubal was the father of music. I wish I had some musical talent. I really do. I want to play guitar so bad, I can't stand it. I got a couple old flat-top guitars, and I sit there and I play with them, and I don't let anybody else hear me because it's awful, but one of these days, I'm going to learn how to play a little something on guitar. And I get so aggravated because I didn't get that. My wife, bless her heart, been playing, you know, for her whole life, and she's good at it. If I had to play one of them things, I'd be done. I have a hard time playing the radio. You know what really frustrates me? Is our youngest son, Isaac. Isaac was 14 years old. Okay. Now, in my younger days, and April's here tonight. She's probably heard this before. Look. The best. We used to teach her in school. Yeah, I feel old. Okay. When I was a teenager in the late 60s, early 70s, things like that, I listened to some rock and roll. But rock and roll was different then. You actually had musicians then. You didn't have people up there just beating instruments all over everything and screaming and yelling. It was actually music, okay? And I'm telling on myself, but my favorite group's always been the Doobie Brothers. Y'all know what a Doobie is? Okay. My mother used to always ask me, what does that mean, Doobie Brothers? I said, I have no idea, Mom. I wouldn't tell her. She wouldn't let me listen to them no more. Yeah, I know. I told you that. Hey, I admitted it this morning. I lied before. I have. But I used to listen to Doobie Brothers. And, you know, there was these other good groups called Boston. And one day, you know, they had a unique sound. They came out in the late 70s. Well, I come in from teaching one day, and I'm walking down the hallway, and I walk by Ike's room, and I hear the acoustic lead-in to a song that Boston played called More Than a Feeling. And I thought, man, he got a Boston CD. I'm going to sit down and listen to this song. I hadn't heard this song in years. And I opened up the door, and I walked in, and I got to tell you, I wasn't ready for what I saw. It wasn't tape. It was Ike with my guitar playing it. And I thought it was Boston. And I said, son, when did you learn how to do that? He said, well, didn't sound like it'd be that hard to play.
I said, I don't like you anymore, son. You ought to hear him now. He's got his own recording studio in his house. He's got electric guitars. He got boys. Never had a music lesson in his life. Just got it from God and his mama, I reckon, because I didn't give him any of it. But Jubal was, he was a musician. And he is the father of what we now know as the entertainment industry. How much time in our country do people spend on entertainment? How much money do we spend on it? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm being honest. Hey, you know, I told you my favorite group of Doobie Brothers. All right, a few years ago, Ike, the musician, he called me up and he said, Dad, I know you're off on this date. I've already checked. I'm taking off. You need to find out if Mom wants to go. I said, go where? He said, just find out if Mom wants to go. And if Mom wants to go, I need $200. I said, what if Mom don't want to go? He said, I only need $100. And I thought, okay, where are we going? He said, none of your business. Just find out if she wants to go and get me some money. And I thought, well, I'm a little worried about this, you know. And so I looked down and said, hey, do you want to go? She said, where? I said, I don't know. Do you want to go? I said, if you want to go, it's going to cost $200. And she finally said, yeah, I'll go. I said, okay. So I called Ike up and I said, I'll meet you tomorrow. Mom wants to go. I'm bringing you $200, but you better not get me in trouble. He said, oh, you'll see. You'll be good. You'll be good. And so, you know, 1972, I'm pretty young at that age, and I'm into listening to the radio, and I hear a song come on that just clicked. And I thought, wow, I like that song. Who is that singing that? It was the very first hit that the Doobie Brothers ever had. It's called Listen to Me. And I fell in love with them then. I've got a bunch of their albums to this day. Got CDs in my truck out there, and I listen to them sometimes. Anyway, I'm a big fan. And so the day of wherever we're going shows up, and Ike and his wife show up, and we all get in our car, obviously. And I said, okay, where are we going? He said, go to 75 and head north. I said, that's Port Atlanta. He said, I know. I said, that's bad. He said, let's go. So we get to the outskirts of Atlanta, and I'm starting to get in traffic. And I said, okay, boy, where are we going? He said, oh, you ain't there yet. When you get to 400 and get on 400, I said, boy, where are we going? I got to be at work tomorrow. And so we get up on 400 somewhere, and he said, hey, you see that sign up there for the Verizon Amphitheater? I said, yeah. He said, get off and turn left. That's where we're going. I said, boy, who's here? He said, the Doobie Brothers and Peter Frampton. I got to admit, folks, I had a ball. I did. I'm sitting there watching the guys I've been listening to my whole life play. And let me tell you, Joker's got to be 70 years old. But they can still play. You hear me? And I'm thinking, old people rule. It was great. And then after it was all over with, I thought, boy, that was great. My boy was looking out for me. And a couple of days later, I got thinking, I spent $200. And a tank of gas to go to that thing. Oh, yeah, memories. We got memories. That's right. But, folks, listen. The entertainment industry nowadays, man. And I tell you, some of the music on there, I just can't stomach it. I just can't do it. Not only because it just ain't good music, but because of what they're saying. Awful. When I get to that point, I just get me a gospel record and put on and listen to some quartet music. I need that. Then it talks about the progress that mankind was making. If you're looking in Genesis, there was another guy named Tubal-Cain. He was the inventor of the smelting process. He was the father of industrialization. What happened in this country when we became an industrial nation? You know one thing I like about living where I live now? Is because the only industry in Wilcox County is farms. And you know what farmers are? They are dependent on God, and they still know it, and they still believe it, and they still act like it. I just like people who love God and worship God and realize that everything comes from God. Let me tell you something. You go into the industrial centers, people don't need God anymore because they got a paycheck coming every 2 weeks, whether they work or not. Tubal-Cain invented, he was the father of industrialization, and look how advanced we have gotten. Let me tell you something. Think about medicine. Think about how far we've come with medicine now. It's unbelievable to me. You know, I think last time I was here, which was been a long time ago, you know, I was fixing to have shoulder surgery. Well, I had it done. Let me tell you something. That don't even hurt anymore. I can use that arm like crazy. It's wonderful. Okay? And that wasn't even a in-depth surgery. That was just fixing a few ripped muscles and stuff in there. But the thing that really got me was when I got home and I
pull that bandage off, or Diane actually pulled it off to re-bandage it and everything. They just made four little bitty holes in my, well, five actually, one in the back and four on the front. That's all they did. I thought, man, that's pretty cool. We got five stitches. That's good. I'll be out of here in no time. You know, it went great. Everything was good. My arm is good. And I'm going to tell you, therapy, ooh. I mean, you know it's going to be bad when the therapist says, lay down on the table right there. We're going to do something new today. You're not going to like it. Just hang on. Hang on. It hurt. I'll admit it. I didn't yell the first time. I just made my mind up. I'm not going to scream. I ain't even going to call her anything back. I'm just going to take it. Whew. I went to church one Wednesday night after therapy, and my buddy walked in. He said, well, how's it going? I said, just got out of therapy. He said, you take anything yet? I said, no, I had to drive to church. I ain't going to take it till after I get home, but I'm taking it when I get home. I said, hey, but you know what? The little old gal that's doing my therapy, I found out who she was. He said, really? I said, yeah. We got to talking. I asked her who her daddy was. I was baiting him like everything. And he said, really? Who's her daddy? Do we know him? I said, yeah. He said, what's his name? I said, Satan. Think about the advances we made. I remember in the early 70s, first time they did bypass surgery. We were living in Tifton, Georgia, and there was a man from Tifton who went to Birmingham, Alabama to have bypass surgery done, and it was just the biggest miracle anybody had ever heard, because that man was all but dead, and he lived for years after that surgery. And folks, what they do now, it makes that look, I mean, they do those things like pulling a tooth now. It's unbelievable the advances we made. Technology. I don't know if I've told y'all this or not, but it's part of you know, when I was on the SWAT team for all those years at the department, we had to go over to Meridian, Mississippi to the Naval Air Station over there and do some tactical training. It was good training. It was a long week, and it'd wear you out. But one of the things that they did was they took us on a couple of different helicopters, and I liked those rides now. They were fun. Got to fly on a Black Hawk and deploy out of those, but the one that I really liked was a little small helicopter. It was a fast mover. It's called an A-Star. It's a French-made helicopter, and it's operated Border Patrol, and Customs has these helicopters. And they put us in that thing, and they took us to ride. Now, let me tell you something. That old boy gave us a ride. It was fun. But the thing that's amazing about that helicopter is they told us. Now, this is the technology that I can tell you about, okay? They have technology. We can call the Border Patrol and say, hey, we need some assistance in Warner Robins, Georgia. You can land at Robins Air Force Base, call in and get the clearance, right? All right, they can give us equipment, headset equipment, that we can put on our helmets and flip down at night, okay? And we can, as a team, stack up in full battle gear, and we can start through the woods or the neighborhoods or whatever. Now, this helicopter, this A-Star, is equipped with stuff that they can take off. And they have a map on a screen in that helicopter that shows them where our target is. They will go 5 miles out from that target, okay, and 1 mile high. And they will hold that pattern in a big circle around our target. 5 miles out, 1 mile high. Nobody ever knows that they're there where we're going. And they can paint us a target with a laser that we can see with the heads-up display. Right by our target through the woods. We can overcome obstacles. They say, hey, you got something in front of you, you got to go around, follow the laser. And they can paint us a path right to it. But it gets even better. When we stage up at the target before we hit the door, they can say, okay, you got five people inside. Listen up, this is where they are. From 5 miles out and a mile high. Big brother's watching. That's what they'll tell us about. Okay, but I think about the technology, the advance that gets us to that point. And when we get to that point, you know, even amazing to that, you remember the Voyager 2 that they launched to go to Saturn? You know, Saturn's 54 billion miles away. And these scientists did the calculations, and they launched that Voyager 2 satellite on its way to Saturn, and they figured out how long it should take to get there and how far it was and all that stuff. And folks, it took 4 years
I'm sorry, I said 54B. It was 1.24 billion miles away, and the thing was moving at 54,000 miles an hour. And when it arrived, it was only 41 miles off course, and it was only 3 seconds late. That blows my mind. Somebody paid attention in math class. That's all I can say. But you know what the problem with all this advancement is that when we get that advanced and we get that smart, we think we don't need God anymore. And that's when God says, guess what? Maybe you don't know as much as you think you know. Here's the one that really gets me. In Genesis chapter 4, it talks about Lamech. You know what he was the first one to do? Have more than one wife. Now, what happened when he took more than one wife? The home started to deteriorate. The home started falling apart. I had somebody ask me one time when I was pastoring church in Macon. They said, we want to ask you a question. I said, okay, ask me. And they said, three institutions that God created. I said, yes. And they said it was the government and the church and the home. I said, that's right. And they said, if you could change any one of those things, which one would it be? I said, the home. That's easy. And they said, really? We thought you would have said the church. And I said, uh-uh. I said, let me tell you something. If I could get the home back where God intended for it to be, there wouldn't be a problem with the government and their service. There wouldn't be a problem with the church. And that's what bothers me more than anything else about what I see. Let me tell you something. Being on the road for 17 years, I got tired of people wanting me to fix their kids. I did. Look, it was hard enough for me to raise my own. And I sure didn't want to have to try to raise anybody else's. But you know what? It blows my mind what some of these kids grow up seeing and doing at a young age. You know, one of the things that bothers me about this new job that I got to do is I got to be involved with these civic groups. And one of the things that we do is they every year have a big thing for the eighth graders. Eighth grade. How old are you in eighth grade? 12? Okay. 12 to 13? Okay. So they're getting these 12 to 13-year-olds, and they want us to help and everything, and I promise you I'm not helping with this part of it. But the main focus of this is you have to make right choices. Well, guess what choices they're talking about? Sex. With 12 and 13. And they say, well, you know, if you make the choice to be active, then you need to use condoms. And I'm going, what? Are you kidding me? Tell them you don't do that until you get married. That's what this says. Don't be telling them it's all right to do it, and that's what they're doing. Folks, let me tell you something. We get really advanced, and we get prosperous, and we get all this other stuff, and that's what it leads to. It says right here that Lamech was the one who really first started undermining the home. Okay? And look where it's gotten us. Turn on the TV. Turn on the radio. The homosexual agenda. You know? It's out there. The abortion industry is going crazy. Hopefully we're making a little progress on that one. I really hope. You know, there are people now that are starting to say, well, you know, really, that ain't good. Well, that's what we've been trying to tell you all this time. Folks, listen, he's the one that started it. But then there's one last thing. There's pride. Talks about Lamech. He declared his value to be greater than Cain's and greater than God's. Here's what he did. He paid God lip service. What does the Bible say about in the end days when people stand before God? There are going to be many that stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not teach in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? And what's God going to say? Depart from me, I never knew. What does that mean? That means they paid God lip service for their whole life, but they never knew. They never knew him. Listen, pride gets in the way. The Bible says pride goes before fall. Don't pay God lip service. there are politicians nowadays who are so full of their self, it ain't funny. I get sick of it. I get sick of it. There's a lot of them that talk big, and there's a lot of them that say that they stand for family values and all that, and all they want to do is get elected. You know what I'm ready for? I'm ready for somebody to run for office that has already proven with his life where he stands. That's what I'm ready for. You know, these people that make it big in whatever industry, they think they're so much better than everybody else. And you know what? That used to kind of make me mad. It doesn't bother me much anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because as Dr. R.G. Lee said one day in a sermon years ago at Bellevue Baptist Church in Tennessee, there's going to be a payday one day. And when that day comes, let me tell you something. You ain't going to stand real proud. Not going to stand at all, because God says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You got all these people out here that are talking about there's no God. We talked a little bit about that this morning. You know, this is another one I don't understand. Makes me angry to think about it, so I don't think about it much. And this scares me. I'm telling you, I don't get scared by much, but this scares me. These people talking about running Oprah Winfrey for president. That scares me. Number one, I want to know, what did she do to qualify her to be an authority on anything? But yet she has this following, and it made her very rich. Very, very rich. Okay? She could buy the presidency if she wanted to. I hope she does. But let me tell you something. She says, well, God is within each and every one of us, but he's whatever each and every one of us desire him to be. Oh, boy. I know this is wrong with me, but you know what? I want to be on the front row when she has to get on her knees and confess with her mouth that you're God. Folks, listen. He's coming. The Bible says he's going to come when you least expect it. And it's going to be just like it was in the day of Noah, days of Noah when he comes. And I'm looking around. And I'm reading the Bible. And I don't see much difference. That's just me. I'm not going to tell you I know when Christ is coming. I don't know. Because nobody knows except God the Father himself. But let me tell you something. I know the times get short. Are you ready? That's the thing. Are you ready? Do the people you love, are they ready? Folks, that's who we need to be concentrating on. We need to concentrate on being ready and getting other people ready. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your telling us that in the days of Noah it was bad, and it's going to be bad before you come again. And Heavenly Father, we look around and we just really know that it's got to be time. It's almost got to be close. And Father, I don't know when it'll be. And Father, it's not up to me. All I know is that, Lord, I want to be ready. And Lord, I pray that those around me are ready. And I pray for those in this church and in this community are ready. Heavenly Father, I just want us all to be with you when you come back to take your children home. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house with your people and sharing your word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that it would go forth from this place. Lord, I pray that it would find a root in the hearts of people. And I pray that those who are here tonight would go out and share it with those around them so that they can be ready. And Heavenly Father, whatever your will is tonight, I pray that it would be done. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.